Well, good morning.
I could not have asked for a better song to be led. That's a straight out of Philippians. Her folks have a cabin up there in the mountains, which is beautiful. And Kirk and Miranda and Adam surprised us. They came up when they weren't supposed to, and so we got to be with them all week. And we go in Sunday morning, and was amazing. Walk in to the middle of a little country church in the mountains, and there is Luke Chandler with his whole family, and Todd, and his father Royce, and they were up there in the mountains. And so Luke says hi to this whole group, says he loves you, and small world, big family. Got to hear the backstory from Royce Chandler of how Jaime Estrepo, out in South America, became a Christian through his brother, Carlos, and it's just a long story, but the Chandlers were all involved in that, and so it's just a small world, big family in the church. But we had a great time. Kylie's family all says hello, and they love you very much. And we're just glad to be home. And Happy New Year. You know, with every new year, there's always good and bad things that happen with each year. It seems like 2016, everyone's ready to get rid of. You go on social media, there's all sorts of jokes that are flying around about this last year. And a lot of it's because there's been a lot of tough things that have happened this last year. There's been a lot of death. Whether it's, you know, in people's families or celebrities. Of course, this last week there was the death of Carrie Fisher and then her mother Debbie Reynolds, and people are shocked about that. You know, after an election year, I think there's always a big exhale after any election year where people are just ready for the new year and ready for something else. And of course, with any year, there's always resolutions. I saw Jacob Reby post something about his resolutions that he's putting up. And usually resolutions look something like this. Everyone has, you know, things that they're going to do to make their life better. You know, I'm going to drink more water, or I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to get to the gym. You know, everyone does that for the first month, and then they don't go, you know, the rest of the 11 months of the year. But everyone's got these different things that they do. Kylie and I were discussing last night just different things that we would like to do to better ourselves and to better our marriage and different resolutions for this year. And I like this one. This was a tweet someone put up. My New Year's resolutions are: 1, stop making lists. B, be more consistent. 7, learn to count. And I thought that was humorous. But, you know, everyone, whether they're silly or whether they're serious, everyone's got something that they want to start to pursue, that they want to do different, and they make it a focus for that year. Whether they follow through with them or not, it's something that everyone's thinking about this time of year. But I want us to just take a step back and think about something, and I want to get a little bit more sober-minded for a moment, or just, you know, a more sobering topic. You know, we can focus so much on these different pursuits and these different things that we lose sight of what's really important and what we should be pursuing. And sometimes it's the difficult things that snap us back into reality. In this last week, two friends of mine unexpectedly lost a parent. A friend of mine, Josh Smelzer, they were taking pictures in front of their family tree when his mother collapsed, and Wendy Smelzer, who Kylie and I had the blessing of meeting one time, passed away and died. And then you have my friend Isaac Kennedy, who lost his father, Martin Kennedy. And it's always during the holiday season that makes things so much more difficult for a family as well, when everyone's together. And then you've got Jason Longstreth's young boy here on the end, Jonathan, who has influenza and lung failure, and he has liquid in his lungs and in his heart and has been in the ICU for the last several days. And you look at these things, and they're difficult things, and it brings you back to just a sobering reality where we might pursue after a lot of things and focus on a lot of different things that we want to do to better our lives or to do different right now, maybe in the next year. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, Solomon says this, that the end of the matter is this: to fear God, and you finish it, keep His commandments. Ultimately, the only pursuit
worth pursuing that means anything in this life is whether or not we are pursuing after knowing Jesus Christ our Lord. Because it doesn't matter whether you are in great health or good health, eventually everyone is actually going to die. It doesn't matter whether you work out a lot or not, or whether you drink a lot of water or not, all these different resolutions people make. The bottom line is everyone is going to die, and every man is then appointed to face judgment. And what's going to matter is whether or not in this life we actually pursued following Jesus Christ. And we say this because it is so easy to become distracted and lose sight of what's important. And Paul brings us back to a reminder of what is most important in Philippians chapter 3, where he tells us that he forgets what lies behind and presses on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's what we're going to see this morning. We're going to examine Paul, we're going to examine his life, and we're going to make some application to us. And we're going to begin here in Philippians 3, and let's start right at the beginning. We're going to jump into verse 3 of Philippians. But this very first point that Paul's going to make to you and to me is that we need to take that which is earthly that we have gained in this life, and we need to count those things as loss for the sake of gaining Christ. If there is any obstacle that keeps us from getting to Jesus Christ, we need to lose that, throw it in the garbage, we'll talk about that in just a minute, to ensure that we make sure our relationship with Jesus Christ is what it should be. Paul says this beginning in verse 3. He says, "For we are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." He's speaking of Christians that are, you know, now in the Spirit and in Christ, and it's not about our fleshly things, which is a lot what the law was about, a fleshly circumcision and all these different things. And he says, we don't put confidence in the flesh. But then Paul does this sometimes where he'll say, we don't do this, but if we did, let's go ahead and go down this road. And Paul will challenge his reader. So he says, but if we did put confidence in the flesh, I have reason for it. And if anyone thinks that he has reason for confidence in the flesh or a reason to boast about something, he says, I have more. Isn't that a funny way to write? If you think you can boast about anything, I can boast more. It's like that song, anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you. No, you can't. Yes, I can. Yeah, you know the song. And so that's the way that Paul's writing here. And Paul says and goes down a list of things that if you are going to boast about something in the flesh, he has reason to boast about. He says, I'm circumcised on the eighth day. He was born a Jew. He wasn't a proselyte. He was a, honest to goodness, from birth, a Jew, a part of the people, the chosen people of God. And of the people of Israel, it wasn't that, you know, he was, again, a proselyte, but both of his parents were Jewish. He was of the people of Israel. And of that, he was of the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was the only son of Jacob to be born in the promised land. And of all the tribes, what was the only tribe that remained in the south with Judah? But that was Benjamin. And so that was a reason of boasting. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. As Jewish and as Hebrew as you can get, that was Paul. And when it comes to the law, he was a Pharisee. And a Pharisee was not necessarily a bad thing. A Pharisee, the Jews regarded as the greatest teachers and students of the law, didn't they? They were the conservatives of the time. They studied the law in depth, and they were very devoted to their worship to God. Though we know, of course, from the New Testament, they missed a lot of things. And he says, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. Paul was absolutely wrong for what he did, but did Paul have a clean conscience when he did persecute the church? He says that he had lived his life in a good conscience up to that point as he was standing before the Sanhedrin. He thought he had been doing the right thing, and when he knew what he needed to do, though he was wrong and ignorant, he did it with every single bit of gumption that he had. And then he says, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. He did his best to honor God's law and follow God's law and serve God's law. When you look at this list and what we read elsewhere, Galatians 1 gives us this little tidbit. It says, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. When you will look at Paul and who he was before he actually became Paul, he had everything going for him in this life. As far as being a Jew was concerned, he was in a position of power, he was in a position of authority, he was in a position of honor, and because of that position he was in, he probably had quite a bit of wealth about him. And isn't that what a lot of people, no matter what culture they come from, are searching for? They're searching for a good name, and they're searching for, you know, financial stability, and they're searching for respect in their community. Paul had all these things, more so than just about anybody else of that time. The problem with this is, when you look at this list, there was nothing wrong with Paul being zealous for the law or being where he was from. The problem was these things ended up becoming a barrier. These pursuits became a barrier between him and knowing Jesus Christ. If Paul was going to follow Jesus Christ, he was going to have to stop pursuing after the things that he was pursuing at the time. And so Jesus appears to Paul on the road in Damascus. And he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" His whole world was turned upside down. But Saul had to make a choice right there. Was he going to continue to try to follow after the law and make himself righteous? Or was he going to believe that Jesus was actually the Son of God and that righteousness was only attained by faith? Was he going to continue on in being a Pharisee of Pharisees, or was he going to answer his call as an apostle of Jesus Christ? See, Paul had a decision to make, and his pursuits he had been making were in the way of following Jesus Christ. And the call he was made was, leave these things, and you come and you follow me. Just like Jesus did with all of the other apostles. There's more of a physical nature. But Paul looks at this list that he says, I can boast in all these things that I had, and everything that he had worked his whole life towards. And this is what he said of it now. Whatever gain I had, any honor, any prestige, any wealth, any of these things, he says, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss. Now, you have to take a step back and think about this. What would make somebody throw away everything that they had worked for their entire life? I don't think we understand the change Paul went through. I want you to imagine for a moment that your whole life you've worked up to a certain position, whether it's in your company, whether it's in politics, whatever it might be, you've worked up to that your whole life, and all of your peers respect you, and you're well off, all these things. What would make somebody turn around and throw all of those things away? Literally, to walk away from it all. Paul says this was the reason. He counts all things as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. He says knowing Christ and knowing who he is, not just knowing about him, but this relationship, this bond, this fellowship in Christ, provides me something greater than anything I could have pursued after in this life. This is what it's all about, is what Paul is saying. And he says, I have suffered the loss of all things for his sake and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Let's start with the beginning there. Paul says that he doesn't just count these things as loss that he had once pursued, that were his focus, that were his goal. He actually says they're actually now, in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ, these pursuits I had are rubbish. And the word rubbish literally means like dung, if we're just going to be polite there. It was the garbage heap. It was the dung heap. And he says, these things that used to be my focus, they might as well just be thrown out with the rest of the garbage in comparison to what I have now in Jesus Christ. In North Carolina, up in the mountains, they don't have a garbage truck that comes through and picks up your garbage. You actually have to bag up your garbage, put it in your car, drive into town, and drop it off at the dump, which is, you know, a hassle. And you get tired of doing that because you don't realize how much garbage you accumulate until you have to take it out and drive it into town and smell up your car like that. But I want you just to think about that for a moment. When's the last time you've thrown something out in the garbage because it was garbage, and you threw it away, and then you went back out and pulled it back out of the garbage and brought it back in the house and put it back where it was? You don't do that because when it's something is garbage, you don't want it anymore. It's your refuse. It's the gross stuff. It's the extra peelings on the banana that you ate. You don't want it anymore. You don't go back for garbage. You throw it there and then you burn it because you don't want to see it anymore. Paul says, these things that I focused on, keep in mind, this was his life, his pursuits. That's how I feel about them. I'm not going back for those because I've found something so far greater to pursue, and that is Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior. And it's worth any cost. He says, by any means possible, I might attain the resurrection from the dead. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 for just a moment. This passage is really interesting because Paul does not just count all his past life as refuse or garbage, but Paul here gets really blunt and says, to know Jesus Christ and to pursue Him, really my life has become garbage itself in comparison to what the world might think. In verse 11, verse 10, he says, we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we are in disrepute. To the present hour, we hunger and thirst. You think Paul ever went hungry or thirsty when he was a prominent Pharisee among the Jews? You think he ever was lacking anything? And yet to follow Christ, to do his bidding as apostle, there were times there where Paul would go hungry and thirsty for a while. He says, we are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless. Do you think Paul was ever poorly dressed as a Pharisee? Or do you think he was ever homeless? No, these are things that he was called to do his work in pursuing Christ. And we labor and work with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. He says that's what we've become. The scum of the world, the refuse of all things. Now, how many of you would take someone up on coming up and say, now, hear me out. I got a proposition for you. I want you to leave your job. I want you to leave your friends. I want you to leave your home. And you're going to have the worst life you can possibly imagine. You aren't going to eat. And you're not going to have the appropriate clothing. You aren't going to be warm all the time. And everybody is going to hate you. And they're going to mistreat you all the time. How many of you want to sign up for that life switch right there? No one wants to do that. Paul says, that's what I did. And I did it because what I'm pursuing now makes all of this worthwhile. See, Paul's making a strong point to us. To understand and follow Jesus, to know Him, should come at any cost in this life. No pursuit you can make in this life has any weight on the blessings there is in knowing Jesus Christ. And if there is anything in your life that you're pursuing after that is hindering you from following Jesus Christ, it's not worth it. You better count that as loss. You better throw it in the garbage. Whether it's a habit, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a love of money and to climb and to be successful in this life, if those things are hindering you from following Jesus Christ, we need to count those things as lost, throw them in the garbage, and never go back for them because nothing can be compared that you can have in this life to knowing Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul goes on in the next section to make this point that we are to press on toward the goal for the prize, and that prize is the resurrection that he just spoke of. Picking up in verse 12 of Philippians chapter 3, he says, "Not that I have already obtained this." Paul was still living. He hadn't been resurrected from the dead yet. It was a hope of salvation, the hope of a resurrection. "Or that I am already perfect." That is, being made perfect by Christ at the end. He says, "But I press on to make it my own." Hold on to that word "press on" for a moment. "Because Christ Jesus has made me his own." In being adopted by Christ, we now have an inheritance and the hope of this salvation. And Paul says, "I press on to make this my own," this goal. "Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." There's two words there that are really interesting. The first phrase there is, "I press on." And the word there is the exact same word that is used when Paul says, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. The term there means to cause one to flee. My parents gave us these RC cars just as kind of a gag Christmas gift, which was hilarious. Turns out my dog is terrified of it. And it was great running this thing around and watching my dog take off and barking at this thing and running away from this RC car. And it was great because, you know, you have this great time with, you know, terrifying your own dog. I know you're all thinking I'm a terrible person now. But, you know, to watch this thing take off and run away because it's just terrified of this car. When you think of how Christians responded, Paul was seeking them out even when they were running away. He wasn't just satisfied with them leaving. He was going out of his way to go get them. That's how zealous he was. Paul here says, with that kind of zeal, that's how I pursue this prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. I go out of my way. I give it everything I have. I will go anywhere and do anything it takes to attain the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. The second thing he uses there is when he says straining forward. It's this idea of, you know, to stretch forward as much as you can. Have you ever seen the end photos of a race that's really tight and the runners are running and at the very end, what do they do with their bodies? You know, they just like leap forward almost. It's almost like a headfirst dive to try to be the first one past that frame, to be the one who takes first. And that's the imagery Paul's using. He says, that's how I'm running this race and pursuing this prize. I am stretching forward with everything that I have to attain this. I'm giving it everything that I've got. But in order to do that, you've got to keep your focus. Paul says that he has forgotten that which lies behind. He's not saying, don't ever learn from the past. He's not saying, don't ever bring up anything that I've done before and not use it as a teaching moment. Paul's talking about everything that he counted as loss. He's not looking back and longing to bring the garbage back out and use it again. He's thrown those things away. He's counted them as loss. That's behind him. He's forgotten it. And now his sole focus, his sole pursuit is following Jesus Christ, his Lord. It's kind of like the illustration of Lot and Lot's wife. Lot kept his focus and kept going forward, and they were told not to look back, but Lot's wife turned back. And that implies she wanted to go back. She loved the lifestyle that was there. And because of it, God had judged her, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Paul says, I'm not looking back on that life. I don't want that anymore. All I want is Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say that those of us who are mature will think in this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. You know, as a young person, I can relate to this. We're just really stupid sometimes, if I can use that expression. Young people are pretty stupid. And we are so good at wasting time. You know, whether it's with games or whether it's just being silly or just doing different things, young people are really great at just kind of following their heart's desire and wasting time and doing all these different things. And especially this new millennial generation, the stereotype is kind of this wandering, you know, young person that is questioning everything and doesn't really know what to do. And here Paul says, if you are mature in Christ, then you'll understand that all these pursuits in this life that people go after, they aren't worth anything. The focus of one's life, their primary goal, when they get up in the morning and when they go to bed, their sole purpose is, I am living for Jesus Christ, and I am pursuing after Him. That's my goal. That's my mission. That is my purpose here in this life. Eternal life is the only true pursuit that really means anything. And that's why Solomon said what we already cited. The end of the matter of life is this. It wasn't to pursue after the things of this life. It's not even to eat and to drink and be merry. He says it's to fear God and to keep His commandments. That is the end of the matter. As D. Bowman liked to say all the time, if you've missed heaven, you missed it all. Jesus said it this way, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but what? Loses his own soul. And that's a rhetorical question, wasn't it? The point is, it doesn't matter what you gained in this life if it meant you lost Christ. There is nothing worth gaining in this life worth losing the upward call and the prize that is given to us in Christ Jesus. But we can't do it alone. And that's why Paul says, only let us hold true to what we have attained. Well, how do we do that? Well, brothers, join me in imitating me. Here it says, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. It's very similar to the text in Hebrews chapter 10, where we are to hold fast of our confession without wavering. And part of how he goes on to say we do that is by not forsaking the assembly, which is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as the day is drawing near. We are to help each other. We can't do this by ourselves. We need each other. Because, as Dave said, the Lord instituted this reminder every first day of the week because we are forgetful people. And we need this, and we need each other to help us keep our focus, to help us remember why we're living in the first place. That it's not about all these earthly different pursuits, but it's only about one thing, and that is Jesus Christ. And the sad thing is, Paul is going to now turn his attention to several that had lost their way and lost their focus. Whether they had never focused on Christ, or I would argue in this text, it seems to imply those that once did and now are lost. And it's kind of like this. Have you ever seen this before? I thought this was great. Tina, you might get a kick out of this since you run marathons. How big is a marathon? How long? 26.2? Well, that's weird. That says 26.4. But, you know, anyway, this person, while running, they just get lost. And how sad is it when people are running their race and following Jesus Christ, which is the only purpose in this life, and somewhere along the way they get lost to follow after that which doesn't mean anything, to follow after the things of this world. Paul says this in Philippians 3, verse 18. He goes on to say, for many of whom I've often told you, and now tell you even more with tears. Paul had a deep loss that he felt when there were those that walked away from the Lord, or those that didn't obey the Lord, period. Paul speaks of it in Romans as well. And he says, with tears they walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is their destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. They reject Jesus in pursuing Him in order to pursue after that which pleases them in this life. Whatever gives them pleasure, their God is their belly. They just follow their senses. Whatever feels good is right, and then do it. And in doing so, in gaining that which they think will bring them happiness and joy, all it really will bring them is condemnation when their life is one day taken from them and they stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And Paul says he just has moved to tears. And this is one of the encouragements, the applications that I want to make this morning, and that I understand from this text, is we all run this race together. And sometimes someone gets lost. And it's so easy, especially with a bigger group, to kind of just not notice that someone's running with you anymore. You ever do that where you're in a big caravan, you just notice someone's not there anymore or is missing in a big group thing you've gone to? And as a church, sometimes it's easy to overlook someone who has lost their way. Paul here says that should move us in the inside. It should move us to tears. Because that is the saddest thing for someone to be running and have almost finished their race, or they're along the way, they've got their focus, and they get distracted and they run off course. Our job is to go get them. Our job is to go help them. Our job is to go love on them. We have to run together if we're going to finish this race, because there's been times in my life where I've gotten distracted and I've taken my face off the finish line and off Jesus Christ and on to something trivial that didn't matter in this life. And what I needed was someone else who was running this race to come up and grab my arm and say, "You don't want that. You got to keep running forward." That's what we need. We need each other. And we need to help each other to keep our focus. Because as for us, beginning in verse 20, he goes on to say, "But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His in His glorious body by the power that enables Him to subject all things to Himself." That includes you and me. Paul recognizes where he belongs. He says, my citizenship is not here on this earth. My status is not a Jew of the people of Israel. None of these things. My focus, where I belong, is in heaven. And so that's where my focus is. I'm going to run this race. I'm going to keep my focus. I'm going to pursue after Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to let the pursuits of this life distract me and get in the way, especially if something keeps me from running towards Christ. You've got to get those things out of your life, throw them in the garbage. And so here's the application portion of the lesson, as we've gone through the whole chapter of Philippians chapter 3, is what is 2017 going to look like for you? What are your plans? And there's nothing wrong with having different plans and goals for you personally, things to pursue. I would love to be in a little better shape for my wife. You know, I'm a really great gym talker. I talk about going to the gym all the time. I don't go. Just make it that way. So I'd like to change that. That'd be a good thing. But you know what? Paul says, you know, bodily exercise is of a little profit. There's something much more greater to pursue. If I'm exercising myself spiritually, that is the greatest thing I could do. And that's the greatest way that I can love my wife and help her. I better make sure that that's my top priority on my list before this. You know, maybe it's a bad habit that you need to kick. Whether it's sinful or not, if it's sinful, you absolutely need to get rid of it. Or maybe it's just a bad habit in general. Let that be a reminder of the things that we forsook when we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and not to let the old life, the garbage, creep back in into our lives. You don't go back and get garbage. You leave that where it is. Your old life, your old self is dead. It's gone. It's in the trash. Leave it there. Leave your old pursuits there. The things you followed after in this life, leave them. And keep your focus. Run this race with endurance. Keep your focus set on Jesus Christ and the goal. We belong in heaven. We are spiritual beings in these temporary physical bodies. And we don't belong here. We belong in the world that God has made for us to come, to be with Him, to be with His Son. And so as you run this next year, if God blesses you with an entire next year, may we get up every day, may we go to bed every night with this remembrance: I'm here to serve Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. And if you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, will you not do so this morning? Repent of your sins, be buried with Him in baptism, rise to walk in newness of life, having received the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Won't you come now as we stand and sing the song of invitation?